Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Andy. I needed to let you know that we are coming down to the wire on RebateJet.com. What's RebateJet? It's a platform I created for you guys, the small to medium-sized sellers trying to compete against those big brands with those big budgets. Go now to RebateJet.com, sign up for that free seller account before it goes away this month. Now, why do you want to be a part of RebateJet? Just a few things. You can list promo codes for free. You can offer 3 rebates free per day. You can list your products and sell them directly to our customers on our website. We even have a free liquidation marketplace for you to unload products that didn't work out. We also have something else crazy in the works. You guys are going to love it. Go now, RebateJet.com. Now onto the show.
Welcome to the Seller Roundtable e-commerce coaching and business strategies with Andy Arnott and Amy Wiese.
Now, what are some of the other solutions that other people might be considering?
You know, it's a good question. Other people, like I said, who are doing Panny UFBA and are stuck with their UK business and the 7 VAT registrations that they already have, are coming up against the brick wall of not being able to find a German warehouse. Now, that might not be the case in France or Belgium or the Netherlands or any other country, but we're struggling to find a German warehouse that will take your inventory if you're a UK company. And the reason for that is to do with the disconnection between you being a UK company with UK VAT as the importer of record. You have to be a European with a European VAT number.
So even if they were able to find a warehouse in Germany to take their inventory, the problem is they're not part of the EU in terms of their business. And so it's, that's a mess. So there's no way to really like bill them and kind of deal with that. And the warehouse doesn't want any part of that because they're like, I don't know how this is going to. So in that case, it's, if you're wanting to move your inventory out of the UK, you almost need to establish a different business and maybe button up all the different, if you had all these VAT registrations under the UK business, it's like you almost need to kind of button that up at the end of, and kind of redo everything on the EU side if you're wanting to keep all of your sales going. Wow.
Yeah, that
sounds like fun.
That is going to make anyone with anyone groan. So look, I'll be honest, I haven't discovered all the pitfalls of trying to continue to operate as a UK company. I made a decision when I discovered a couple early on that I was going to find an alternative solution rather than get myself caught up in knots over the workaround. And there will eventually, I imagine, be a workaround. One would expect so.
People that want to try this Estonia thing, do you have a good resource? Like, should they just Google it or?
No. So one of the things I'm busy setting up for the whole of the Scale for Retail community, so I'd be happy to offer it to you, is, you know, who's the warehouse, who's the freight forwarder, who's the company formation expert? And obviously I'm doing it so that I can figure it out for myself, but then I want to be able to share it with the community, because this is going to be hard without not sharing. Do you know what I mean?
And there could potentially be a lot of people trying to take advantage too, right? Like how many times in the US, we have a ton of issues where after you form an entity or even after you register a trademark, you'll get all these letters in the mail from different lawyers and stuff that are like saying, oh, you might have to fight this and you might. And so the potential for scammers in this situation is pretty high because people wanting to take advantage of, you know, all these businesses, you could get some vultures. So it's good that you've already gone through it and you can go, okay, I can trust this person. But also before you share, you want to make sure they have the resources in place to help, right? I always try to vet providers myself before I share them, but then I also make sure that it's going to be the same result for other people that use that service. And it's not just like a me thing. Oh yeah, they can handle me. But if I send them the drove of people, you know, then they're going to still be okay. And it's going to be a good resource, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have to put my hand on my heart when I recommend anyone. That's just the way I operate. And I'll be honest, because it's such a work in progress, I'm not quite, I mean, some people have come to me and said, who have you used? And I've said, look, I'm not entirely sure, but I'm happy to pass that over because you're taking action quickly like me. And I appreciate that. But do your own research. Don't,
right, yeah.
Don't just rely on this one. And I've spoken to about 5 or 6 different Estonian company formation experts. And one of the things that you do when you do that is you discover what somebody really knows versus what somebody might position themselves as knowing. And you can really dig a little bit deeper. Oh, look, hello to the cat.
and she's crying too. She's the worst cat. She earns her keep because she's very photogenic, you know, and as you guys know, I have a company that's very, you know, cat centric, but yeah, she's the worst cat. She will sit on my lap and bite me. Like really? she's super mean. Yes. She's really mean. And you know, but she's very photogenic. And my other ones are like, no, mom, I'm not taking pictures of products today. That's not happening. Right. So, you know, so I'm grateful for her because she earns her keep, but but she sure likes to be on camera. Oh, my goodness.
Cool.
So in terms of timing, let's just talk about timing real quick. So it looks like people have some options. They need to figure out what they're going to do, whether it's, you know, they really don't have a choice. If they want to keep selling in the rest of Europe, they need to figure something out because they are not going to be able to just keep the UK-based company and do that. So they kind of need to figure that out. And now they're going to be able to keep selling in UK with that company all day long. And some people may choose to do that. They might run the numbers and they might already have really solid sales in the UK and they might go, oh, this doesn't affect me. I'm not worried about sending my inventory to Germany or Spain or what any of the other European countries, right? So that's one option. The other option is, okay, figure out how to set up a European-based business so that you're able to move your inventory without the warehouse in Germany going, no, you're not a European business. You're a UK business. We're not taking you, right? Yeah. So how about timing? I know Amazon's provided some information, but you're getting ahead of the power curve. And this whole Brexit thing is supposed to like officially be like in stone as of January, right? The first of the year.
Right.
But what about timing? So when do you think people should kind of aim to have this set up if they're wanting to keep selling outside of the UK in the other European countries?
Well, Amazon have said that they will not continue the EFN program. They only notified us of this week. I thought I had until the end of the month, but they're going to stop shipping your product on the 18th of December, which if you think about it, probably makes sense because it's 7 days before Christmas and it's probably going to be too tight to get to your customer. So effectively, that's when they stop the EFN program. And they've given us another date of the 20-something of December when you have to have your inventory out of any fulfillment centers if you're on the Pan-EU FBA program.
So, but
because
Pan-EU
you can't use your UK company to sell. I think.
Okay. So that only applies to UK companies. So for example, if you're using Pan-EU and you have a European company, it doesn't matter. You're good to go.
Yes.
But if you have a UK based company, you have to get your inventory out of Pan-EU unless you set up a European based company, register the new company, transfer everything over.
Well, there's the difficulty.
Yeah. Cause that doesn't seem Yeah.
No, you, in theory, yes, that's exactly what you need to do. And I'm so delighted I'm easy to understand. But there is one little niggle here that hasn't been sorted out by Amazon. So when you set up your, and this probably only applies to the Brits, but it may apply to Americans. So when you first set up your European Amazon account, and if you use your UK company to set it up, like I did, even though I set up my account in America first, I'm a Brit, I only have a UK company. So I used a UK company to set it up. But I'm not on the PANEU FBA program, so to some extent it's probably neither here nor there, but I will have a European company, and I will ship into Germany using my European company, and Amazon will distribute through EFN, even though I don't have a German company on Amazon, because I've shipped it legitimately into Germany, and so far they haven't quite connected the dots and said, oh, I must have Shelley's European company name, and I must have that registered on the Amazon platform. And that's the one thing that a lot of Brits are really running scared about. And I'm a bit relaxed. And the reason I'm relaxed is because they will eventually connect the dots. And at the moment, it doesn't stop me from proceeding with my plan. And they know who I am anyway. So a lot of people are saying to me, well, should I set up a second Amazon account now for my German, France, Italy, blah, blah. And the answer is no, you can't. Of course you can't, because Amazon doesn't allow you to set up a second account in that way. They only allow you to potentially have one Amazon account per brand. If you had another brand, that was different.
Oh. But
if it's the same brand, you're not allowed to have multiple seller accounts, because in their perception, that leads to fraud.
Right. Okay. Can't
control that.
Because I was going to say, if it's a different company, you can set up another Amazon account, but you're using the same brand, and that brand is already registered to your other company. And then you would potentially be violating the rules of like listing the same brand under multiple companies. And so that would get you into trouble.
Correct.
So what you're hoping is going to happen is when everything catches up and all of the accounts get checked, which isn't going to be till like the probably March, you know, when everything is like, you know,
I'm hoping it's 2022 actually, but anyway, keep continue.
You know, so in that case, what's going to be really interesting is that when you, what you're hoping is when they connect the dots, you're able to say, no problem. I already have this other company. I just need to, for these countries, I need to transfer the brand to this company. Right.
Yes.
And because I'm not going to break the rules. Right. And you know, so it should be fine once everything, and then in the meantime, you're able to move your inventory and deal with the warehouses and stuff because you have your new company in the EU, and you're able to say, okay, this is this company, so I'm going to ship my stuff to you over here under this company, and then in the UK you're dealing with this over here.
Right.
So it's almost like Brexit is also happening for all of these companies, because they're like, okay, I'm going to hang out over here, and we're going to be a British company, and then all of our other business happenings have to be separate companies somewhere else.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Well, it doesn't seem so bad, but it seems like, you know, there's a lot of implications that come along with this. And it's good that we've had this conversation today just to get people really thinking about it. I think there are a lot of people that are considering Europe and they're wondering, you know, what does this whole Brexit thing mean? Is the UK still the best place to set up a business when I start there? Is it still the launch pad? The answer is no. It's not the launch pad anymore, but do your research. If the UK still seems like a really great place for you to sell your products, you're going to want to set up a UK-based company. And if if the rest of Europe is a really great place for you to sell your products, you're going to want to set up a European-based company. You can be a digital citizen in Estonia, right? And you can sell to all of those places. But it's separate now. It's UK, the rest of Europe. And correct. That we need to be thinking about that way. It's almost like, if I want to sell on Amazon Australia, I need to look into what's required for that. And it would be like New Zealand being completely separate, you know, like,
exactly.
You know, it's right there, but I still need to look into New yeah. Zealand's requirements. And so that it's really interesting the way that yeah. this whole thing is going to work. And also what you said about, you know, how Amazon is going to handle it, because that was the hub, right? That was where everything got set yeah. up. And now
yeah,
it's
the
like,
European headquarters is in the UK. The tax dodging part, I shouldn't use those words. This is going on the internet. The tax avoidance
it's already there.
Part, is in Luxembourg, so that yeah. they are in a relatively good position tax wise. Mm-hmm. But yes, if essentially their European headquarters has been built in the UK. They obviously have teams of people in all the countries, but they use their teams in Germany to design certain things, and in France to participate on a pan-EU level of designing certain programs. A lot of it is still quite UK based. So the only other thing, you know, that I would add is, if you think you've got a really great product that is selling amazingly well in the US, you probably have a great product that will sell well in Europe too. And I mean, with one of my brands, Europe is nothing. I really only sell in the UK and America. So it's a very Anglo-Saxon type product. I would probably do well in Canada or Australia or New Zealand, but it doesn't appeal to the Europeans. For whatever reason. My other brand, 25% of my turnover is in the UK, and the other 25% is in the rest of Europe, mainly Germany, France, and Italy. And then obviously the other 50% is in America. So I actually cannot afford, as I sit here today, to lose those great big chunks of my turnover, which is why I've had to figure out what to do.
Right.
I just don't feel I want to take a quarter of my business and cut it off. It doesn't seem right.
Doesn't seem like a reasonable option.
No, and actually the cost of setting up the Estonian company has been really minimal. I mean, I'm talking probably less than $500. And that's with my digital citizenship and everything. And the other lovely thing actually about Estonian companies is if you don't take the money out of the country, like if you continue to cycle it back into the business, you don't pay any taxes on your profits.
Wow, very nice. Okay. Well, I'll definitely have to look into that because Europe is one of the places that I would like to expand. I'm mastering North America first.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to make sure that I'm, you know, utilizing yeah. my channels here. But that is one of the places that I really would like to expand. So, Shelley, thank you so much today for providing all of this information, for helping us somewhat understand this mess that we're getting into here with this Brexit situation. And what is the best way? So I already put out there for everyone that if you want to check out what Shelley and her team at Scale for Etail have going on, I've already put the link. Those of you who are in the Amazing at Home group, you always see, I always tag Shelley and stuff. If anyone says anything about European selling, I'm like, Shelley, save me. So, you know, she's a great resource to have. So scaleforetail.com, you can go there and check that out. But Shelley, where else would you like people to get in contact with you with any questions about what we've talked about today or anything?
You can email me. It's Shelley@scaleforetail.com. I try to keep it super simple. You can go to the Scale for Retail Amazon Seller group as well. It's called Scale for Retail Amazon Seller Meetups. You can tell I didn't actually come up with that very long title. So if you can spell it and find us, that's a great place. And actually, you can just pose, you know, your questions in the group, and everyone jumps in and answers. It's a really active, friendly group from that perspective. And the other thing I was just going to say is that if anyone is considering coming into the UK, but or Europe for that matter, but you're a little bit worried about how to do it, it seems very complicated, it seems quite full of bureaucracy, which frankly it is a little. You're welcome to come into the group and find a partner, and just partner with somebody else who's already doing it, who's already got the account. Come to some sort of agreement with them, and they will help you potentially work out what your success level is going to be in maybe some of those other countries. It's really not such a bad way to get started and test things out for the first 12 months. I mean, obviously, it'll affect how much you take home because you've got to share something, but I'm pretty sure you'll be able to find kind of partnerships that will help you reach.
In my mind, it's better to dip your toe with a distribution partner that you can eventually then make a more informed decision about, like, okay, yes, this is working well. My sales are going very well. I'm going to go ahead now and go it alone. But, you know, it's really great to have a distribution partner that already has all the logistics figured out and all of the taxes and everything else.
Right.
And, you know, it's the same thing if you were to sell your products wholesale. Right. You know, you're going to be taking less of, Amazon fees anyway. So, you know, it all works out in the end. It's a way to dip your toe. It's a way to kind of discover things. So I think that's a wonderful option and a wonderful invitation. So awesome. Well, thank you so much, Shelley, for being here with us. Thank you for helping us navigate this really confusing thing. I'm not sure that I've understood it from the beginning, and I've lived in Europe and I still, you know, whatever. So I'm glad that somebody like you who has some more experience in the area can help us navigate it. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for being here today for this Seller Roundtable Extra. Reach out to us anytime. Continue your rating and reviews and join us later today. We're going to have Joe Reichsfeld on the show, and we're going to be talking about, oh my gosh, I don't even know. Like, just sent me a whole list of amazing things that I want to learn from him because he's just really good at everything. So you guys know how I do. I steal all the secrets, and, you know, we're going to probe Joe a little bit this afternoon. So, all right, everyone, thank you again for watching, and we'll see you next time on the Seller Roundtable.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for live Q&A and bonus content after the recording at sellerroundtable.com. Sponsored by the ultimate software tool for Amazon sales and growth, SellerSEO.com and AmazingAtHome.com.